ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नत्यायुक्तो योगबलेन चैव भ्रुवोर्मध्ये प्राणमावेशसंज्ञक शतं पदं पुरुषमुपैति दिव्यम्। Some of their citizens' lives are between the eyebrows, and by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages himself in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion. They will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this series of verses between, I think, beginning from 9 up to 13, it is practicing remembering of Krishna through meditation. I didn't make one point before regarding Kalim Puranam. That verse is actually meant for the Yoga Mishra Bhaktas, Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Yoga Mishra Bhakti, that means Bhakti can be mixed with either Jnana or with Yoga also. So there are Jnana Mishra Bhaktas and Yoga Mishra Bhaktas. Like we have this, I think Maitreya, Maitreya and Uddhava, they both are present when Lord Krishna left for his abode. So Maitreya was a Jnana Mishra Bhakta. So Lord did not look at him. Lord preferred to look at Uddhava and speak to him every day. Actually Maitreya was passing by. He happened to come to know that Lord is present here. So he also joined that discussion between Lord Krishna and Uddhava. So Prabhupada writes that he was very fortunate to meet with Krishna personally and have an audience from him before Krishna went back home. So there are Jnana Mishra Bhaktas like that, and there are Yoga Mishra Bhaktas also. So Jnana Mishra Bhaktas are Jnanis who worship Krishna. Similarly, Yoga Mishra Bhaktas are Bhaktas whose Bhakti is tinged with the yogic process of Ashtanga Yoga. So these people, the Mishrit Bhaktas, they always like to worship Krishna in a mood of awe and veneration. That is why Krishna is here explaining Kalim Puranam, Manushasitaram, Anodanyasam. So he is explaining the magnificence of the Lord, his greatness, how great he is. Sometimes people fail to appreciate a person's greatness when he is very simple. Like you know the story of Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, isn't it? He was a very great personality. So once he went to the party, the marriage party, was invited. So he went with a very simple dress. There were many great personalities who used to wear very simple dress. Like Gandhi also wears very simple dress. Had a simple dhoti and dandavastra. So he went with a simple dress. But then the guard that didn't recognize him, the watchman, he drove him out. And later on he went home, again he wore coat, suit, tie, everything, and he came back. And then the watchman saw that some coach has come. He saw that, you call it coach, isn't it? Yeah, coach. So he got him from the coach and then walked with his walking stick, seeing that watchman saluted him. And then he allowed him inside. So as soon as he went inside, immediately he changed over the dhoti again. Again, the dhoti and angavastra. And he took all those clothes and kept them on the table. While all the participants of the party were eating food, he was giving food to that coat. They were saying, coat, coat, eat, he was telling. He was giving the coat and pants, and everyone was staring at him. And then he explained what actually happened. Anyway, these people, Yoga Mishra Bhaktas and Jnana Mishra Bhaktas, and all have more respect for this Vishwarupa form or Virat form of the Lord than this sweet form of Shyam Sundar. So when they see Shyam Sundar, they mistake him to be ordinary human being. So they think he has got only two hands, whereas Vishnu has four hands. Then they think, probably he might be God. Krishna cannot be God. They think like that. So Krishna also gives them an opportunity to worship him by presenting the magnificent form, presenting his greatness as such. And continuation of that was here we find 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, after 13. Yeah. In all these verses it is all speaking about Yoga Nishtha Bhakti. But one underlying theme, that the thread that passes through all these verses is one main point, that one should leave this world and return back to the Supreme Godhead. But here you see in the verse number 10, see the last line, Satam Param Purusham Upaiti Devyam. I think one will attain that Purusha, Divya Purusha. Who is the Divya Purusha? Yes? Krishna. Similarly here, verse number 11, Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pradakshya. That's the last line. Tatte Padam Sangrahena Pradakshya. That means one will attain that supreme salvation. That means one will get out of this world. And if you see, this is verse number 13. Verse number 13, what is it again? Yas prayati tadam deham, sayati paramam gatim. That means again he's saying, yati paramam gatim. So you'll attain the supreme gati. So in this way we find in all these verses, one thing is very clear, that the ultimate message of these verses is, how one can remember Krishna and go back to Krishna. How one can get out of this material world and return back to Krishna. So that is actually the underlying theme. This whole series of verses began from this Antakagrisha Mahamaya. How to remember Krishna at the time of death and go back to him. So even for the Yoga Nishtha Bhaktas, Krishna is the only shelter. Whether one is a jnani, or one is a yogi, or one is a bhakta, the ultimate ashray of one in whom everyone takes shelter is Krishna. Or someone takes shelter of Vishnu, who is another manifestation of Krishna. That is the ultimate shelter. As it is said in Bhagavatam, Vasudeva Paraveda, Vasudeva Paramakaha, Vasudeva Parayoga, Vasudeva Parakriya, Vasudeva Paranyana, Vasudeva Parantapaha, Vasudeva Parudharma, Vasudeva Paragati. So, everything is said here. Vasudeva Paraveda, Makha, Yoga, Kriya, Kriya means Karmakanda. Ultimately for all of this, the shelter is Vasudeva, Krishna. And also we find that one has to have a desire to get out of this world. One has to have a desire to quit this world and go back to Godhead. So yoga is not meant for one who thinks, let me make my life comfortable in this world. Unfortunately, in the modern times, people go to yoga classes for what? To make life more comfortable, to have a more healthy body so that they can enjoy the world, enjoy the senses, have a healthy life. That's why people want to go for yoga session, yoga class. So we use that in yoga summer camp. People come to the temple thinking we'll teach them some yoga exercises. They don't know what kind of yoga we administer. Our yoga is to send people back to Godhead, not to hold them here. So that is underlying principle here in all these descriptions of yoga. Prabhupada also says how people, 99% of the people in this world, they don't want to get out of this world. No matter how horrible this world might be, everyone wants to hold on to the house. Like it is said once, when Narada Muni, he invited people, come, I will take you to Vaikuntha. They said, we will come, we don't mind. Of course, we will leave our father, mother, family, everything, business, everything, we will come. But when will we come back? They were asking. Coming back, yes, that was Vanivartante. Once you go back to Godhead, no returning back. you will be always with Krishna. For them you don't want to come. They just want to hold on to their position in this world. So such kind of people cannot do really yoga at all. They cannot take the path of yoga. Spiritual life is actually not meant for such people. Spiritual life is for those who understand that someday or other I have to leave this material world, leave this body. Either I have to accept another position in this world, or I leave this world and go back to Godhead. One should be convinced of that. Prabhupada once told the story of one Prahareva Dhananjaya. He said one father, he had 9 daughters and 2 sons. And all these daughters got married. And during the summer vacation, this was summer vacation I think now. During the summer vacation, all the daughters had returned, had come home to the father's home, along with their husbands. So the father didn't exactly know how long they are going to stay at home. Generally when a guest comes to your house, you really sometimes feel uneasy to ask them, how many days are they going to stay? As soon as they come, can you ask them later? So you know they will be very uneasy, you don't ask them. So father just assumed maybe 3 days they will stay. Because it is said, you know, guests and fish think after 3 days. So generally guests may stay for a couple of days maximum. The father thought, okay, it is all right. So he went to the market and bought so much sabji, so many things, and they prepared a very wonderful feast. 4 sabjis and 2 sweets and everything. Everything. Very, very elaborate feast. And he gave them nice place to stay, and there were beautiful gardens around the house. So seeing all this, all the daughters and their husbands, they all had a very nice time. A week passed. Father became a little concerned. His pocket was getting empty. 1 week is gone and they don't appear to be moving out. What are they going to do? Then slowly he understood that I have to show my displeasure in their state here. Then probably they will understand. Then he started cutting down the sabji. Only 1 sabji he gave instead of 4. And then only 1 sweet. And then they still continued to stay, some of them. So some of them felt maybe he's not so happy with us. They started moving out 1 or 2 people to families of them. And still, he found that many of them still stayed. So one day, there was no chapati. Only rice, dal and sabji, and no sweet also. And the next day, only rice and dal, nothing else. Somebody, one of the son-in-laws asked, what about sabji today? He said, sabji can find in the dal only. It's mixed in the dal, don't worry. So he felt very bad. So 1 or 2 more also started leaving. And still there were 2-3 families staying. So one day there was no salt in anything. Completely no salt. And then the son-in-law asked, please get us some salt. We can't eat it. And father-in-law said, no, no, there is no salt at home. We have to buy from the market. Maybe we'll get it tomorrow. So now they understood. This person doesn't want us to be here. So somehow they tolerated the food that day. And then they also left. But then there was one son-in-law who was not ready to leave at all. He was holding on to the house. Practically 2-3 months passed, he was staying. So he didn't know what to do. Then father asked for the 2 sons to help his son to have whom he had. And then those 2 sons said, father, you leave it to us, we will take care. And then in the middle of the night, when they were sleeping, his 2 sons put blankets around their heads. And they came with big face, big, big face. And they set him and they woke him up. They asked, who is this, what are you doing with me? And they both bet him so severely, started running away from that. This was Prahareva Dhananjaya. They gave beating, good beating, but they drove him out of the room and he never returned back after that. So Prabhupada says, from the story, moral of the story, the material world is a very uncomfortable place. There are so many disturbances. Just like he was not giving 4 sabjis, he gave only 1 sabji. One day there was no salt, one day there was no chapati. Similarly, sometimes you find the atmosphere is so cold. In Pune, sometimes there is cutting cold. There is scorching heat of the sun. Now the season is going to become rainy season. It is heavily raining outside. You don't feel like going to office. In the morning you have to travel in the rain. So, Maya, material nature presents so many discomforts for us. Why is he doing that? It is exactly like the father-in-law doing to his son-in-law. He is actually showing that I don't want you here, isn't it? Similarly, Maya is telling you, why, what are you doing here in this world? Better get out. Go back to Krishna. Don't waste your time here. Don't be staying here. So she is actually showing through her own behavior. And there are many difficulties, but he says, in our own body, body doesn't cooperate. Mind gives so many problems. And people around us, they give so many problems. Nature gives so many problems. So some people don't give this work so easily, so they have to be given good beating. So Maya gives such heavy kicks, then they will run to God after that. Probably it will take many lifetimes. So here in all these verses, again and again it says, Tyajan deham tayati paramam gatyam. Tyajan deham, you have to give up the body, paramam gatyam, to achieve that paramam gatyam. So one should first of all have a desire that I have to find out a way by which I can attain eternal happiness, which can never be taken away from me. Not just adjust yourself and go on and on in this material world. In fact, the modern times, people are talking about how a person can, like they talk about the survival of the fittest, how despite all difficulties you can learn to live in the world. That is actually the goal of modern man. I am reminded of how one time in our lane, some pigs went, some busy pigs went. So we started taking a stick and chasing them, and they ran and ran and ran. At last, after that they went ahead of all the homes, and there was a garden there. So they went to the garden. So we wanted to drive those pigs out. So when I would drive the pigs there, he would go to the other garden there. And you go and beat up the pig there, and he'll come to this garden. You beat him here, he'll go there again. So he's going like this back and forth. And then within a few days, they had so many piglets. There were a dozen piglets. And they found the place very wonderful because there was a big gutter in the garden. And they were just having a nice time playing in the gutter. So we could not drive them out at all. Similarly, in the material world, which is like a gutter, people want to stay there. And the Maya gives one kick on one side. And they run and go to another situation, thinking that that will make my life better. Let us make things better. And Maya gives one more kick there. Again, you change the situation. As you are in one job that pays you something, and you think, if I take up that job, that will pay me better. So you go there. Like, you know, in IIT, they used to put this advertisement of Schlumberger, isn't it? The company. So you get monthly 80,000 rupees per month. So we used to think, why not apply here? Because many jobs are giving just 10, 20,000, here they are giving 80,000. But then you have to work in a project where you have to be practically several meters high, working on oil projects, offshore oil projects in the middle of the ocean. And many people actually fall off and die off from that. You have to work for supervision in such places. And you have to work in such polluted areas where people's lives duration is shortened. So sometimes people go for big jobs thinking that will pay me a lot. And then after they go there, they realize there are so much people that they can go to another job. The people in this world try to go on changing the situation to make life better. Maybe this will work, maybe that will work, maybe that will work. That means they want to make life comfortable and go on living like that. Nobody asks, why am I suffering like this? Like if your eyes are closed, you find somebody is pinching from behind. By the time you go and touch and find out who pinches me, somebody is pinching here. And you touch here, there's somebody pinching here. Somebody keeps on constantly pinching, but you are blind to see who is pinching, you don't know. Similarly, we are getting so many pinches from the material nature, and these are like the father-in-law was taking away the facilities that were awarding to the son-in-law. So Maya is actually indirectly telling us that, my dear son, this is not a place meant for you. You are actually pure soul, and you are not supposed to be in this place. You are in a foreign place. You are in an alien yoke. You are not supposed to suffer here. You should get out of this alien place and go back to your home. So, Sayati Paramahamgatim, one should want to go to Paramahamgatim first of all. Then yoga is meant for you. So in the modern times, there are so many yoga societies. Like Prabhupada, in the early stages when he went to America, there was one man named Mishra. So he was a friend of Prabhupada. And Mishra would use many sweet words, like, you know, very, very beautiful words he would use while speaking to his people. Always he would be talking of love, and personal and this and that will be speaking. And we'll be giving yoga classes. And Prabhupada saw that what he is teaching is simply meaningless. He doesn't teach anything about God. He doesn't teach anything about how to approach God. He doesn't teach what is suffering in this world. He's simply speaking some nice words. So Prabhupada tried to teach to his students, yoga students. And Mishra became very guarded. He didn't like Prabhupada giving classes to his yoga students. Why? Because he knew that he will be exposed very soon. Because whether one is a teacher or a teacher will be known very soon. If one understands what is knowledge. When your eyes are open, then you become awake and then you can clearly see who is the teacher, who is the teacher. So, Prabhupada saw many, many yoga societies in America. They were telling people that you can be a drunkard, you can smoke cigarettes, and you can have a healthy body and have better sense gratification. So they were teaching yoga for that. So yoga is not meant for such people. In fact, yoga is for those who want to control the senses, as Prabhupada said. But the steady yoga practice gives strength for one to control his senses and focus his mind on Krishna so that he can prepare himself for the critical moment at death. So this is actually the beginning goal of yoga. The primary, the first goal of yoga is to control the senses and the mind. The senses are always constantly pulled by the sense objects in this world. Always, as I was telling some weeks ago, how once Prabhupada heard one time when he was with his disciples, I think it happened in Seattle, some ding dong, bell sound was coming. And Prabhupada was, what is that going on? Some ice cream vendor was passing by. He was making the ding dong sound. So Prabhupada said, just see, he is not passing by just like that, he is making that sound. Why? He is inviting you. Come, come, take this ice cream. Eat it. So he wants to give you invitation. So Prabhupada said, Maya is exactly like that. She always gives you invitation. Come, come, try to enjoy. Have this. Like a fish. See, when a fisherman catches a fish, he puts a bait. And he puts that tackle inside the bait. And then he puts it in the water. Then the unintelligent fish goes and tries to eat it. Actually, he shouldn't try to eat it because there is an ocean available for him to eat. Why should he eat only that meaty bait? But he doesn't think about that. He goes and catches it. But still he doesn't pull it. He waits for some time. Why? He has to actually bite it and when he puts it in his throat, at that time, he pulls it. Then the hook really gets into his mouth. And then, poof, like that, he pulls it. And then it is finished. He's out of the water. Similarly, Maya also, because of one unsatiable tongue. Through tongue many, many people have fallen. Like say Sharira, Vijaja. The tongue is actually it's like a rudder in a boat. The rudder in a boat actually determines the direction in which the ship will go. So in whichever direction you move it, accordingly the ship will move. The whole ship, although the ship is gigantic in size, one small rudder can change the course of that ship. Similarly, the tongue, it's very small in size in our body compared to the size of our body. But what you eat during this time, that will determine in which path you are going to lead your life. Whether you are going to lead a sinful life or a pure life, that will be determined by what you eat with your time. Similarly, Prabhupada says about the bee. Bee gets into a flower, when the sun sets it closes and then he suffocates and he dies inside. That is like the smell, the desire for smelling things. So similar for the ears, the deer, when he hears the hunter playing on some instrument, when he hears the sound, he just gets stunned. He cannot move from that place. And hunter, it becomes easy for him to catch that deer. Similarly, the elephant, although he is very huge in size, a gigantic body, very big in size, still he loses all independence just because of this attraction for self-life. It is said, a female elephant is taught how to catch the male elephant. So the female elephant is put in some place and the male elephant looks at her and starts running. And the female elephant knows how to exactly take him into the ditch. Once she goes to the ditch, he also goes and then it becomes easy for them to put the chain and catch him. Like that. So one loses all independence when one becomes infatuated by sexual attraction. Similarly, Which are the senses?
Eyes.
So for these thousands of flies, they fall into fire, thinking that the fire is so attractive. Sometimes it looks like a very cooling thing. I was reading one of the songs of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, very interesting song. I think it is Tava Avatara. Tava? No, not that song, but another song. Gaura Avatara, second line is Gaura Avatara. Tava, do you know Tava Avatara? You just read the song, it's so interesting. Many examples are there in the time. He says, I wanted to have nice, delicious fruits to taste. So I put one seed and started watering it day after day. But when that seed grew up into a tree, what was the tree? It was a thorny babu tree, which did not give me any fruits. It only gave me thorns, which poked my body and caused me so much pain. But I didn't know that in the beginning. That's the problem with self-verification. Beginning we don't come to know. We come to know the result later. That better be Amrita Vyo, Kadinane, Vishnu Vyo. The beginning it's like Amrita. Later on, it becomes a Visha. So clearly he says that the Parasa Pushpa, he took the Parasa Pushpa, greatly eager to smell it. And then, I smelled it. What came out of that? All the worms entered into my nose. All the worms entered and started talking inside the nose. And you couldn't get the worms out of the nose. So that's the condition. Similarly, desiring to eat sugar cane, I took the bamboo stick and started biting it. And then when it started persistently bleeding, then I realized how much pain this bamboo is causing. I didn't know it is bamboo. And similarly, he says that the hot fire appeared like cooling moon for me. So when I went and touched it, my hand got cold. So these things is telling how the sense gratification in this world appears very attractive. But then it leads one to an ocean of suffering. That's the nature of sense gratification. So all the examples are given for that. So all of the senses are compared to untethered horses, which are very difficult to control. Just imagine you are sitting in a carriage and there are powerful horses which are just going out of your control and you just can't hold them. They are taking you to hell. That is the way our senses work. Uncontrolled senses. You just can't control them. So such uncontrolled senses are there with everyone, and that is why one is led to attachment, aversion, fear, avarice. All these things come from uncontrolled senses. So a yogi is one who begins this process with yama and niyama, controlling his senses. So when you have attachment, fear, and aversion, envy, all these things, then our life is in a great state of turmoil. Nobody can be peaceful with all these things. So we become the secure prisoners in this body. We just can't get out of the body, and we don't know we are not the body. So we suffer terribly with uncontrolled senses. So whole world is plunged into the ocean of suffering. But a yogi begins to restrain such senses, and then he elevates himself. So this is the beginning of yoga. So many, many rules and regulations we studied in the fifth chapter, how a yogi, what all a yogi should do, how he should go to forest, he should practice brahmacharya, he should eat simple foods, he should go from yama, niyama, pranayama, shiddha pranayama, breathing exercises. Why do they do breathing exercises? Because you can control the mind and you can control the senses very easily. And then they do asanas. Asanas are also meant for controlling the senses and making our mind steady. So these are first the four steps which are called the Hatha Yoga. So here also Krishna explains, Dhatta Lipto Yoga Palena Chaiva. So Yoga Pala means by the practice of yoga bal, prayana kali manasa achalena. So the mind will become achal. Achal means that which doesn't waver. So in order to get a steady mind, yogi has to do all these things. So there are two ways. One is either you strenuously control the mind and senses. Just like Prabhupada explained in one of the reports earlier, Yogi is one who is able to control his senses at will, just like a doctor. Kurumanga Aniva Sarvashaka. He is able to control his senses at will. That means you can say no to the senses at a particular time, and you can say yes to the senses at another time. So he is supposed to have such a control, then he is a yogi. So such a yogi may achieve such sense control by strenuous effort, which is certainly a very, very strenuous effort. Otherwise there is another way to easily achieve the control of senses and mind. That is by Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakta Rishite. Rishik means the senses, and Rishikesh becomes Rishikesh. Rishik plus Ish. Ish means master. Rishik plus Ish becomes Rishikesh. Who is Rishikesh? Krishna. So Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. So with your senses you serve the master of the senses. Then your senses become easily secure, automatically. So this is a very easy way. When one becomes a devotee of Krishna, one can control mind and senses very easily and focus on Krishna. So now, Satya Yogi, after having controlled the mind and senses, is he a free bird now? That he can do whatever he wants? No. When he crosses the stage of Yama, Niyama, Pranayama, Asana, then he comes to Prati Ahara. Ahar means food. Prati ahar means not giving food. This is not just ordinary food that we eat. This is prati ahar is for every one of the senses. No food for the eyes, no food for the ears, no food for the nose, no food for the tongue, no food for the skin. That means, like you must have heard the story of Rishyashanga. Rishyashanga lived in the forest under the care and protection of his father, Vibhandak. So his father was so careful that he will feed his son only fruits which had no taste, completely like saw powder, no taste. And he would put flowers in the around the ashram. They may be beautiful, but they had no smell. He got smell in a day. So in this way, in order to keep his senses in the control, his father arranged for things around his son, by which he will enjoy those five senses, eyes, nose, tongue, ears and skin. So this is called pratyahara. So it's a very tough job to do, controlling the senses like that. Just like if you see how a tiger is blocked under control of a master, what is it? A taskmaster, I think, isn't it?
Ringmaster.
Yeah, ringmaster. If you see in circus work, you find how ringmaster is able to easily control a tiger or a lion. He sometimes even puts his head into the tiger's mouth. A lion's mouth and takes it out, and tiger doesn't do anything. Or sometimes he takes a whip and beats on the ground and tiger immediately sits on a small stool. You have seen that? So you may be surprised how it is doing that. So they have a technique in doing that. They go to the forest, they catch a lion or a tiger, and they bring him and bring him under chains, and they put him in a cage. Now the cage is locked and they don't feed him anything on the first day. And the first day he will be moving back and forth inside the cage, you know. He has so much passion in his body. Why they are not giving me any flesh? Why are they not letting me out? So he will be beating on the rods. Beating on the rods. First day. So first day when he fasted, then second day he becomes a little weak. And he goes to one corner and he starts sitting and looking very sharp, with sharp eyes. Angry. Why are they not giving me food? Still that anger is not gone. That vigor is not gone. Then second day also they fast in fully. And third day, he really becomes weak. Now he has no stamina in his body. If he doesn't eat, he feels now he will die now. And then the third day, the ringmaster comes. So he tells them to open the gate. And they open the gate. Last night the gate is open, whatever little strength he has in his body, he wakes up and comes out running like a cat. You know, looking here and there, well, only they give you the food. And instead of giving food, he takes a weapon like that. He beats it. So strongly on the ground. And the tiger shivers seeing that. And then he starts, you know, thinking, what do you want me to do? Why are you beating like this? And then he tells them, put a little piece of flesh. So they put little flesh. Immediately runs and grabs it. And after eating it, it is simply like, you know, drinking one drop of water when the throat is burning, you know, the thirst. Then he is looking at him, will you give me more? And then under beating. And then he shivers and then he puts a stool and that they keep the 2 legs under, do this, do that, like that. So in this way they give treatment, and then now he understands one thing. If I ever want any food, that will be given only by this master. Nobody else will give. And then he becomes obedient to him. So this is the way the yogi has to control his senses. Brings the animal-like mind under control. And then the mind becomes obedient to the yogi. Whatever it is, the mind also agrees. Okay. Now this fellow has controlled the mind. So when one has controlled the mind, it's called a jitatmana. Jitatmana means jitendriya or jitatmana. So it is said that even when one goes to forest, still his 6 wives follow him. Go with 6 wives? No, mind and the 5 senses. So that's the verse which comes in the Priyavrata section. Bhayam bhayam pramattasya vane shvapisya yatasya aste sahashastra patna. Sahashastra patna means co-wife, tapatna. Sahashastra patna jitendriyasya atma buddhe. Jitendriyas atma buddhe. Jitendriyas atma rate buddhasya. 3 qualities. Jitendriyas atma rate buddhasya. Griha shamakyam karotyavadyam. So this verse was asked by Brahma to Priyavrata. He told him, why are you afraid of taking the grass fashion? He said, even if one goes to forest, the 6 wives, they go with him. The 5 senses and the mind, they go with him. He is going to be constantly tormented by them. So he told him, a man who is jitendriya, who has controlled the senses, atmarate means, one is atmarate. One is always engaged in the knowledge of the servant of God. Buddhasya means always thoughtful and wise. 3 qualities he said. Jitendriyas, Atmarate, Buddhasya. Grihashramakyam yum karotyavadyam. For such a person, what calamity can a grihastasham cause? That means those who want to take grihastasham, they should think of these 3 qualities. They should work on these 3 qualities. So once you become Atmarate, self-satisfied, not greedy. And Jitendriya, once you try to have controlled senses, that's why Brahmacharya is practiced before accepting the Vaishnava. And Buddhasya, once you always act wisely and not foolishly. So, foolish means muda. Who is a foolish man? At least according to the Shastra, the foolish person is one who acts like a child. Child sometimes catches fire, sometimes catches a knife, sometimes tries to peep in a well and jump into the well. He doesn't know what is good, what is bad. Or he just takes anything from the ground and puts it in the mouth. Similarly, one who is conducted with the 3 modes, they don't know actually what is good, what is bad. They accept anything and they become entangled. So one should not be foolish like that. So in this way, yogi performs this pratyahara and brings that animal-like mind under control. But then, although he has controlled that animal, sometimes such an animal can become disloyal even to the master. After he has tied him in a rope and he has controlled him, he has trained him. One day if the tiger or lion becomes angry on him, he may just slap him on the face and run into the forest. So like that we find in the case of Saurabhimani. He has controlled his senses so much that he went underwater and he didn't have to breathe. He was just performing mystic yoga underwater, having controlled his mind and senses. But then his senses cheated him. Cheated him and he looked at 2 fishes mating and then he became bewildered in mind. This is an illusion. And he came out of water and he fell from the position of the yogi. He didn't have any more control. Or like Vishwamitra also fell down. So what does a bhakta do? Bhakta does not undergo this strenuous process. He doesn't have to control this tiger like mind. As it is sung by Narasimhadas Thakur. He is singing, Te Chai Gosai Jaha Mohitara Jaha Tantabhaya Padarenu Mora Panchagras. He is singing Yichai, Chai means 6. Echai Gosai Jaha Mohitara Jaha. I am the servant of this Shad Goswami, 6th Goswami. Tantabhaya Padarenu Mora Panchagras. The dust of the lotus feet of this Shad Goswami is my only food, he says. That means ahar for all my senses, for my eyes, for my nose, for my tongue, for my ears and for my skin. The only food is the dust of the lotus feet. So that is only ahar that one should feed. Meaning is, we don't mean that you go to Vrindavan and dig some sand and eat it, put it into the eyes and put it into the nose. We don't mean like that. What they mean is, whatever Sadhguru Swamis have taught, how we should live our life. And once you take that and follow in that standard. Once you perform as in Vrindavan, once you are telling your disciples, I am waiting for the day when I will be able to have 11 disciples who are exactly like Sadhguru Swami. And they can run ISKCON all over the world. The Prabhupada said, our ISKCON will take leaps and bounds if I have such disciples like the Sadhguru Swamis. So sometimes sannyasi is one sannyasi asked Prabhupada when he was taking sannyasi. Prabhupada, can you tell me how I can become an ideal sannyasi? What do you want me to be like? Prabhupada immediately said, just go and read the Sadhguru Swami Ashtakam. And whatever way Sadhguru Swami is lived, follow that success. In your life will be perfect. So, you all can try reading it also, Sadhguru Swami Ashtakam. Read that, then you will see the way they lived, how they lived their life. So that should be your ideal in mind. Then, in the way they served the other Vaishnavas, the way they served Bhagavan Krishna, we can also serve. That should be our real goal. So, we easily bring mind under control by fixing it on Krishna, very easily. Because it is said, you know what is the presiding deity of the mind? Anybody know? Moon. And that's a very great confidential thing about it. Because the moon is the presiding deity, and the mind is often attacked by Kamadev. It is attacked by Kriya. So when Cupid sends a flower arrow, he has got five arrows. So five different arrows, which actually goes step by step, making a person fall on better and better. First arrow is only, he invokes the lust in one's heart, and then that comes superficial, and then one gets more passion, and gradually one wants that. So when Cupid sends the arrow, no living entity can resist that, except or some maybe great saintly people, or except maybe Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva once burnt Kamadev, you know that, isn't it? But even Lord Shiva was bewildered by Mohini Murti. But Krishna is called as a Madan Mohan. So he is the attractor of even Madan. Kandarpa Koti, Kamaniya Vishesha Shobha. Koti means crows. Crows of Cupid, they look at Krishna's beauty and they are bewildered to Krishna's beauty. That is the beauty of Krishna. So, when we make Krishna our presiding deity in our heart, then what happens? Then mind gets fixed on Krishna's feet. That is why he says, Rupa Goswami says in Upadeshamrita also, that one should fix one's mind on Krishna. And by fixing mind on Krishna, then automatically the attack that is made by Cupid, that goes away. So Cupid has no sign. Then one becomes attracted by charm by Krishna. Haridasapur was actually Haridasapur's heart was completely sold out to Krishna. Because of that, he was not regulated by the beauty of the prostitute. He was the most beautiful prostitute. Even Maya Devi herself came, and he was not regulated. So one's heart should be sold out to Krishna like that. So in this way, a devotee does not go through the strenuous procedure of a yogi to control his mind and senses. Rather, he engages senses in Krishna service and uses his mind in fixing it on Krishna by chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. By such chanting, one's mind becomes completely pacified. There is no extra trouble that you would have to take. I read one of the sentences, interesting sentences from Prabhupada's small book, Perfection of Yoga. As the Prabhupada's small books, don't think they are really small, they have very deep sentences. But one sentence you take from it and you can contemplate on it for years. Prabhupada writes that, if you want perfection in yoga, don't be satisfied by practicing only codes. You have to go further. These are extra tools that Krishna has given. The translation said this. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. So Prabhupada is giving the purport about how in the Satchakra, Satchakra Yoga system, There are many other things they can do, like they can vibrate home regularly, and they can also recite the Vedas and become learned in the Vedas. One can accept renounced order, one can accept Brahmacharya. These are all additional tools that may help a person to advance in yoga. So those of you, how many of you Bhagavad Gita received? So I would request you to refer to some verses now, 4-5 verses. Some interesting derivation you can make about different practitioners. 3.7, somebody can tell me what is the verse 3.7? Check. 3.7. Yasindriyani manata yam yaravate arjuna
yasindriyakarma yogam asatasa vishishyate.
So this is a verse for a karma yogi. Sri Krishna is telling karmendriya hi karma yoga. Using karmendriya, we should do karma yoga. So 3.7. Next, somebody can tell me which is the verse 5.13. So this is for a jnani. Because it said manasa. What is the beginning of the verse?
Sarva karmani manasa sanyasya te sukham vasi.
For karma yogi, karma is very important. But for jnani, mind is very important. Because using the mind only, a jnani can stretch his mind and do speculative work. And speculate more and more about the absolute truth. Verse number 6.25. Buddhi. Ajan buddhi brisiteya.
Shanai
shanai kumarane. Buddhya aditi brisiteya. Atma samtam mana prasva.
Vincetati chintaye.
This is for a yogi. So here is a Shanaishana people make buddhya adhita grihitaya, he says. Buddhi means intelligence. So for a yogi, it's very important for him to engage his intelligence. So it is superior to the path of jnana. Buddhya adhita grihitaya. He achieves the determination with his intelligence. Shanaishana uparame. By Shraddha Yasya, uparame is actually to pass the raising mind. Buddhya adhita grihitaya, atma santa manasutva. And for a bhakta, you know what is the verse? 6.47. Everyone knows this verse.
Yogi namapi sarvesha bhagate nantaratmana shraddha vanasate yoma sane yukta homatana.
So here he says, yogina api sarvesha namapi all the yogis bhagate nantaratmana. So a bhakta engages not the senses, not the mind, not the intelligence, but his own soul. Antaratmana, he offers himself to Krishna. Yoginam sarvesham madgate antaratmana shraddhama bhajate yoma sanayita tamamata. That's why it is said, in all these parts, like if you see, the different parts that are mentioned here, like Jnana Yogi offers so many austerities for the Lord, for God. But the Lord cannot reciprocate with such austerities. Like you may do big, big austerities, but he cannot reciprocate. Similarly, yogi also, using his intelligence and control his mind and senses. Whereas the bhakta offers something to Krishna, for which Krishna can also reciprocate. What does bhakta offer to Krishna? Yeah? He offers love, yeah. He offers his love and free will. So Krishna can also reciprocate with him. So that's why if you see this gradation of verses, where one uses the senses, as we saw in Karma Yoga's case, then we found that Jnana's case uses the mind, Yogi's case uses the buddhi, and the bhakta uses his atma. So in that verse, I think the last verse of this chapter, I think Prabhupada writes, if you want to control your mind, senses, and become peaceful, better you engage the atma in Krishna service, he says, directly. Just get fixed in concentration. Just get fixed in jiva at a certain point, Krishna and Nishkara. Become Krishna service. That means, do what your guru teaches you, tells you, just follow the instructions. And then mind, senses, buddhi, everything will follow you. Because Atma itself is going there. If Atma is in Krishna's feet, heart and mind, intelligence, senses, everything too. So this is for teaching for a devotee. But for others, Krishna says, tasmatam indriyani adhuryamya. So of course you engage your senses. So one can engage senses, one can engage mind, one can engage intelligence. But it is said the highest perfection is to engage one's soul in Krishna service. That means to offer oneself to a spiritual master. As we say, what is that? Second verse of the Shiva Charana Padma. Arna Kaurika Mane Asha. Don't harbor any desires apart from the desire of the spiritual master. Then one is very, very safe. You don't have to work so hard to control mind and senses. Automatically your mind senses are very, not only they are peaceful, they are jolly. If one is engaging in the order of spiritual master, mind and senses and all of them will be ecstatically engaged in Krishna service. So next verse will decide.
Sarvadvarani samyamya
manogriti niruddhyacha modhyadhyayatmanastanam
asito yoga dharana.
The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life are at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. Very frightening verse. We are saying detachment from all sensual engagements, people will become afraid hearing this. Because nobody wants to detach themselves. Prabhupada says in Mahadi Purports in the Kunti prayers, as soon as one is asked to detach, the living entity is finished. Because he cannot become detached. So if you want to become detached, then you have to become attached to something else. Param drishtva vartate. Having seen something higher, he can give up something lower. So drishtva means having seen. So one has to get something higher to give up something lower. So here a yogi has not got anything higher, but he has to detach. It's a very, very painful process. The more sensual engagement. It's like a child is having a knife in hand, and you are given a duty. Somehow or other you have to get the knife out of the child's hand, without giving anything else. How do you think it is easy? Mothers will know how tough job it is, isn't it? Unless you give something else, he is not going to give the knife. Or he may probably take out the knife, but he is going to cry like anything. He is going to wave his hands and make him cry. Similarly, you need to detach oneself is very difficult from all sensual engagements. That is why this Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga and all, two things about them, why it is not possible for this age. One is, it is too rigid practice. I hear you saying, closing the doors of all the senses, fixing the mind and the heart, and life at the top of the head. So in Chachakra system, beginning from Muladhara, they elevate the prana to higher and higher chakras. In Raja Yoga we study that. Raja Yoga and Dhyana Yoga are same. So when they elevate by one chakra, and the prana comes to the skull, here there is a pituitary gland which is called as Brahmarandra. So the sixth chakra. So when one elevates the prana to one chakra, then one starts feeling different sensations in the body, and one's mind senses come under control. So a yogi comes to a stage where he can move the prana to any part of the body. See, currently all the five acts in our body are kept in equilibrium at this heart, position of heart. And that equilibrium point is the place where the soul is kept in the region of the heart. So they have to move that equilibrium point by adjusting the breathing, pranayama, in such a way that they will be able to move it to this place, Brahmanandra. Then the prana can come to the skull. That is why you will find a picture in Bhagavad Gita somewhere that when a yogi, he breaks the skull, you know, he shuts off all the other senses doors, and he breaks the skull and then he goes out of the body. He can go anywhere he wants. He can go to Siddha Loka, he can go to Vijayagar Loka, he can go to any Loka he wants. He can become a Gandharva if he wants. So yogis, when they come out of the body, where will they go depends on their free will. How they use their free will. It is said they can even go to Vaikuntha if they want. That is why you see Durvasani could go to Vaikuntha. But But in generally they are not so interested to go to Vaikuntha. Because they are so proud of their siddhis and other things that they want to go on showing their power. So they go to Siddhiloka and pick up many siddhis and come back and make a show of the siddhis like that. So here he is saying, fixing the mind and the heart and the life are on the top of the head. So how can one do that? This may take thousands of years. Vishwamitra took 60,000 years to achieve the Brahma Rishi post. It took him so many thousands of years. So now in Kali Yuga we have hardly any time. We have just 80-100 years. Life is so short. Life is so flickering, it is so short. So there is no possibility of performing such strenuous yoga. Neither can we detach ourselves from all the sensual engagements. Nor can we fix our mind on the Brahmarandra. And many people are trying it even now. There are people following Sahaja Yoga. Right, they are taught, you know, that we are doing the Sahaja Yoga and we feel some cold in the hands. Actually they are told that you will feel cool in the beginning. So you have to feel. You have to anticipate it. If you don't anticipate it, maybe put your hands in the fridge or something to feel cool. So they feel cool in the hands, cool in the legs. And they think, they assume that they are advancing. It is simply imagination. Like I saw one boy who came to my class. He said, I am following this Sahaja Yoga, I am doing this meditation. So I asked him, what is the goal of your yoga? So he said, you feel cool, very nice. You feel cool in hands and legs. So I asked him, your ultimate goal of life is to feel cool in the hands and legs. That you will anyway feel when you die. Both bodies will become cool. Is it the ultimate goal of life? Simply to feel cool. And he doesn't know what is Atma. He doesn't know what is God. He doesn't know where is he going after death. So there are people practicing this yoga at this age. And then he confessed that, and the class got over. He said, I have some bad habits for which I could not give up. So he was saying, I have a smoking habit. And he said, you are smoking and losing all these habits, and what kind of yoga are you doing? Yogi is supposed to be so strict in controlling the senses which we are talking today. So this is simply useless. This kind of. So in Kali Yuga we can at best become imitators, not even proper imitators. So one can make a cheap imitation of this kind of yoga and claim to be a big yogi. In India and abroad, many people keep long beard and long matted hair and they move about as great yogis. So outwardly, externally, they look as if they are very great souls. But if you look into their lives a little bit, you will understand that they are not practicing any yoga. They are simply cheating other people, making a show of being a yogi. So we don't want to become such charlatan meditators. So the practices are too rigid and we want to be realistic. When Arjuna was realistic, why can't we be realistic? Arjuna was not feeling any ego problem. To admit to Krishna that, my dear Krishna, this path which you are giving is not practicable. Arjuna very frankly admitted. He said, when Krishna gave this path, what did he say? What is it was? No, that Krishna said. Sanchalam Yamana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. Satyaham Nigraham Manye Vajiru Vasudeshkara. And then one more verse he said. Yoyam Yogam Payaprak. He said, whatever it was. Whatever yoga you gave me now, I don't think it's practical for me. See, Arjuna was such a self-controlled person. When he went once to heaven, not for any other purpose, only to get some celestial weapons from his father Indra. So he happened to be there in the heaven. And there were some heavenly dancers dancing and Urvashi happened to be there. And Urvashi assumed in her mind that Arjuna is staring at me. Maybe she is becoming attracted by my beautiful body. So that evening she came with her, she proposed to Arjuna. Arjuna told her, what is it? I thought of you like my mother. Even now I look at you as my mother. I cannot think of any other relationship with you. So because she is meant for Indra, he always looked at her as a mother. Although she was very, very beautiful. But she became angry and she cursed him that he became a eunuch for 1 year. And that came as a blessing in disguise for him. Because he became a eunuch called Dhanala, the banshee of Uttara. So we find from this how Arjuna was so much controlled that even when one of the heavenly dancers proposed to him, he denied the proposal. That much control he had, Arjuna, over his mind and senses. And such an Arjuna is telling here that this yoga is not practical for me. So if any of us think we have a better control of senses than Arjuna, then we can try this process. So one is this too rigid practice. Secondly, it requires a great deal of material qualifications. It requires a great deal of material qualifications. See, in the path of bhakti, there is no demand of any qualification. Like it is said, na patra apatra nayadaki. It is said, patra apatra nayadaki means Lord Chaitanya doesn't see your patrata. If you say that I have no qualification, then he gives you a patra. He gives you qualification and gives you love of God, like he gave for Jagai Madai. This is the beauty of the path of bhakti, that anybody, rich or poor, wise or foolish, and downtrodden or in the upper level of society, go where it is, they can take the path of bhakti. And Krishna is ready to give bhakti to everyone. Shraddha Mulye, where it is, Parama Ananda. He says, Nityananda Prabhu, he gives devotional service to anybody who simply shows Shraddha, right? And he doesn't say jati dan vidyabal nakare apeksha. He doesn't do apeksha of jati dan vidyabal. Your kula, what is your kula in which you are born? How much wealth you have? How much learning you have? See, jnana yogis, they have to have a lot of learning. They have to be very deeply learned in Vedanta and scriptures. Similarly, yogis, they should be able to control their senses like anyway. They have to eat kandamol. Like I heard this vipassana. You know, it's one type of Buddhist meditation. Even in modern times they are teaching the Vipassana meditation. And they advertise so profusely in colleges and other places that many working people and students, they go for trying it. They go 1 or 2 days, they come running back. So then one day they will give you only 1 carrot, and that too in the night. So they try, any of you have tried here Vipassana? You cannot carry beads with you, most importantly. Yeah, you cannot talk also, you cannot chant any holy name also. And you cannot, you can tell your experience, how did you find it? Yeah. Actually, we suddenly feel better when we go there, you know why? Because we are always fidgeting with our senses. When you don't fidget with the senses and keep quiet in one place, then you feel so nice. Yeah. You know, there is a great poet called Subramanya Bharati. So he wrote one poem called that, Summa Irupade Suham. It's in Tamil. Meaning, Summa Irupade means, to keep quiet is happiness, he said. That means this, a child, he touches fire, he takes knife, you know, he goes here, he goes there, that's some nonsense, he always gets beaten up for his mischievous activities. That is our condition also in this world. But then you go to some representative people, they tell you, I won't do anything, shh, chup chup, sit in one place. And you can't do anything with your senses, then you feel, oh, very nice. When you don't do anything, you feel very nice for some time. That's only for some time. But then you start looking for happiness afterwards. So in this way, there are many people uselessly trying many of these religious practices.
Many people join this for weight reduction.
He's saying many people join this for weight reduction, he's saying. For 10 days you starve yourself to reduce your weight. Please understand, we are not against any particular organization or against any particular personality. At the same time, if I don't tell these things, then you will not understand why there are so many parts. Nobody can appreciate. There are so many parts given the Vedas, but all of them are not meant to be practiced. Like somebody asked Jagadish Swami, if Krishna did not want us to follow this, then why did he give this? Why he is saying Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, all the yogas he is giving? So somehow Jnani say, oh, Krishna has actually left it for you to choose. You can choose whatever you like. That's what they say. But Jagadish Swami said, no, this is a concoction. The answer to this question is this. He said, if you have to go to Bombay, one of the best ways to go to Bombay may be taking an aeroplane and go to Bombay. But if I tell you that you take an aeroplane and go to Bombay, you may not understand the value of going using an aeroplane. So I can tell you various things, that you know, jump into the ocean and you, I don't know whether there are any beach in the neighborhood of Pune, but if at all there is any ocean, you jump into that and then you can swim and come across many dolphins on the way, you know, you can have a fight with them and then see some crocodiles. And then you can reach Bombay by swimming. That is one way. Or you can roll on the ground on the road, you know, and you can go to Bombay. Or you can take a bicycle or tricycle and go to Bombay. But there is also another way, going by aeroplane. Which you prefer? So Bhakti Yoga is aeroplane. Going through Bhakti Yoga is very comfortable. Why is aeroplane example so appropriate? You just get into aeroplane and sit there, it takes you to the next destination. Similarly, you come to the path of bhakti yoga, everything is done up by others. You don't have to do anything. They tell you what you should do. As soon as they come, they tell you you should chant Hare Krishna and you should come to temple, you have to accept prasadam, and everything is very enjoyable. That's not difficulty. And there are seniors, there are the spiritual master to guide you. Just your spoon set at every step. So probably what should you do now? You give up meat eating. So now you are following four principles. Okay, somebody will bring Kattimala to you. Please have Kattimala. And you are following four principles very nicely. Huh? And after some time they will put on to that. Huh? And you learn to have Dhoti Kurta Sari. How many of you started doing these things yourself? Most of you, I'm sure, all of us, we actually did these things because we were taught by somebody. Isn't it? So a devotee becomes a darling in the society of Vaishnavas. As soon as he becomes a devotee. And everyone loves that. And devotee and starts cheating him more and more. In this way, path of bhakti is so easy. And Prabhupada says, the path of Drushtati drags you to success. Even if you don't want. Because you know, if you are in a big crowd coming out of a train, you are in the center, you have to come out also. You cannot stay. So when you become lazy, a little bit devotion service, you will get phone calls, they will call you. Prabhuji, are you chanting? Mataji, are you, you know, offering bhoga at your home? Somebody will call you and keep on following you nicely. So the path of bhakti is so wonderful, they are guided. Whereas these poor jnanis and yogis, they are lonely in the forest, sitting in one place meditating and Menaka will come. So, we don't have such rigid practices and we don't need any big material qualifications. Anybody in any walk of life can practice. See, the last word, the series.
ओमित्येकाक्षरं ब्रह्म
ओमित्येकाक्षरं ब्रह्म
व्याहरन् मामनुस्मरन्
व्याहरन् मामनुस्मरन्
यत्प्रयातीत्य सन्देहम्
यत्प्रयातीत्य सन्देहम्
प्रयाति परमां गतिम्
प्रयाति परमां गतिम्
यक्षते व्याहरन् माम् अनुस्मरन् माम् अनुस्मरन् मीन्स् थिंकिंग् ऑफ मी Translation. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable Om, the supreme combination of letters, if one thinks of the supreme personality of Godhead and quits his body, he will suddenly reach the spiritual planet. So few things, actually three things he has to do. One is he has to be situated in yoga practice properly, stably, and he has to vibrate the syllable Om, and he also has to think of the supreme personality of Godhead. If he fulfills these three conditions and he quits the body, then he can reach the spiritual planet. So what is this Om? Om, the Omkar and Krishna, they are not different because Advayam, it is said. It is non-dual substance. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaneti, Sabjate. So in this Vadandita Tathagata Tattvam, Yad Jnanam Advayam, it says. Advayam is non-dual. So Omkar is non-different from Hare Krishna. But how does it differ? So Omkar is often recited by those who are impersonalists. They chant O, O, O like that. So our Acharya has given deep explanation about what is this A, U and Ma. Agara, Uhara and Mahara. They have given deep explanation of these three letters. It's a supreme combination of letters. So they chant Omkar, Jnanis and Yogis. But even such a yogi, when he goes to Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi, when he continues chanting Om, in the Samadhi stage, he will get the darshan of Lord Vishnu. He can see the personality of Godhead. In fact, in Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narada is explaining to Dhruva how a yogi should meditate in Samadhi, in that there is an explanation that how a yogi should meditate on the Vishnu's form, Vishnumurti. So he said the chakra of Vishnu, he is meditated on every spoke. There are thousand spokes, I think, in the wheel of Vishnu. So he is meditated on every spoke of that. And how they should meditate on the arms, on the chest, on the navel, and every one of them is so precisely described. And he goes on meditating like this, at one point, the same Lord Vishnu will appear in the center of the devotee. Like he appeared in the center of Dhruva, like that. Then that yogi turns from being a yogi to a bhakta. Or if he remains impersonalist, chanting simply Omkar, then he may go to the Brahma Jyoti. Or if he has made such a progress where he is able to perceive the Supreme God, he has developed attachment to the Supreme God, then he goes to Vaikuntha, as Prabhupada says here. Or, if he has achieved even a further stage where that Paramatma, who is Vishnu, he transforms into Krishna, then he goes to Bhagavan in Goloka, like that. So, yogis can become anything. In Krishna Prabhupada writes in one place, sometimes yogis become trees in the spiritual sky. And he is talking to Balaram, he is telling, these trees must have been impersonalized before. Now they have become trees, they are just standing in one place. But they did some bhakti, it was yoga, in Jnana Mishra Yoga Mishra bhakti. So because of which they have become trees in the spiritual sky. And then they became purified and they became trees because they like to be in shanti rather than have some reciprocation and service. Like that. So, omityekaksharam dharma, yagran maam, anasmaran, maam anasmaran, remembering me, yapriyati kadandeha. So, maam anasmaran is again important, antakale cha maam eva Krishna said, thinking of me there. You know, he also is again repeating that, thinking of me is very, very important, otherwise it is no use whatever yoga a person performs, maam anasmaran. Yapriyati kadandeha, sayati, paramandhati, then he can achieve. Spiritual planets. So in this way, so wonderfully Krishna is explaining about the birth of a yogi. We can certainly understand it for the sake of knowledge. Sometimes the shastras teach us some things so that we will become educated why we should not do that. And also shastras teach us things which we should do. So why Arjuna rejected, we can understand when we go through the fifth chapter. Why did he reject the path of Ashtanga Yoga? Similarly, it's important for us to learn these things because people will ask you questions. I am doing Raja Yoga, many people say. They don't follow any principles. So we can tell them how in Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda, Matiya, Manda Bhagya, Upatrita. So like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came 500 years ago, how he gave this path of bhakti to all kinds of people, uneducated class of people, poor people, and to great pandits, and scholars, and Vedantists, and sannyasis. All ranges of classes are covered by him. He taught them chanting Hare Krishna. So, Lord Chaitanya is versatile. You know? He has tackled the classes as well as the masters, both. So, we should also be versatile. It's very important. We should learn these things so thoroughly that if we have to argue with people who are learning these things, we can explain to them properly. At the same time, we have to understand the culmination of all this knowledge is to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
And by such chanting, hope to come to a stage, we have to always develop hope against hope. Someday, one should never give up this process. Go on chanting, chanting, chanting. And then one will come to the platform of love of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
I have a small question cut out. In third canto of Bhagavatam, Maitri Muni is instructing Vidura. And we know that Maitreya Muni is Jnan Mishra.
Still Vidura.
Yeah.
Tell me, he is sanctioned. Still Vidura is
sanctioned. Uddhava is sanctioned.
Uddhava is sanctioned too.
But then how can a mixed Jnan Mishra Bhakta instruct?
A pure devotee like Vidura.
Yeah. He is asking Maitreya was a Jnan Mishra Bhakta. No? And Uddhava sent Vidura to Maitreya because you want to avoid Maryada Vatikram. Because Uddhava felt that Maitreya is senior to me. So let me send Vidura to him. See, although he was Jnanamsha Bhakta, he has one very special qualification. What is it? He was present when Krishna was leaving this world and going back to his own home, his own abode. So that is certainly one special qualification. So he wanted to simply hear what Krishna told him. That's what he wanted to hear. So if even a jnani or a yogi, somebody repeats exactly what the Lord has spoken, then it's appreciated. The Prabhupada talks about the Muni in Bhagavad Gita. What is the verse, Sthitadhir Muni Ruchyate? Anybody knows? Sthitadhir Muni Ruchyate. Rukkeshu Anadhyutnamana, Rukkeshu Jagatastraha, Vitaraga Bhayakrata Karat, Sthitadhir Muni Ruchyate Karat. So, Prabhupada explains, who is the Sthitadhir Muni? Muni means speculator. So even when Prabhupada went to the West once, I heard Prabhupada care that he was speaking to a man who had written a book. So Prabhupada was telling him. So very nice. I went through that book. He has written very nice points there. He have analyzed about the condition of the people in the world. So people like you who are munis, Prabhupada is telling దేశ పేరు కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్. సో ఈ చెందుకు సిద్ధదేవ్ ముని వాళ్ళ విధానం కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ అండ్ ప్లీజ్ కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఇది. సో సిద్ధదేవ్ ముని మీన్స్ ఏ ముని హు హాజ్ బీన్ అ స్పెక్యులేటర్ ఫర్ లాంగ్ టైమ్ అట్ లాస్ట్ హాస్ కమ్ టు కన్క్లూజన్ నౌ దట్ వాసుదేవ సరమతి హియర్ అండర్స్టుడ్ నౌ కృష్ణ ఇస్ అల్టిమేట్ వాసుదేవ సరమతి హీ కాల్డ్ సిద్ధదేవ్ ముని. సో ఈ సిద్ధదేవ్ ముని హ్యాస్ అ ఫిలాసాఫికల్ అనలైజింగ్ టెండెన్సీ బట్ హీ ఓన్లీ అనలైసిస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ స్పీక్స్ అండ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ టు పీపుల్. లైక్ ఉద్ధవ హీ ఆల్సో వెంట్ గోపీస్ అండ్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ హీ వెంట్ గోపీస్ అండ్ ఎగ్జాక్ట్లీ టోల్డ్ వాట్ కృష్ణ సార్ హీ టోల్డ్ ద గోపీస్ కృష్ణ హెటర్ ఓన్లీ వెరీ స్మాల్ లెటర్ యూ ఆల్ సిట్ డౌన్ ఐ విల్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ టు యూ ఐ విల్ గివ్ యూ పర్పోర్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఈచ్ లైన్ వాట్ కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ రిటర్న్ బికాస్ హీ వాజ్ ద స్టూడెంట్ ఆఫ్ బృహస్పతి సో హీ వాంటెడ్ టు గివ్ పర్పోర్ట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ అండ్ అనలైజ్ అండ్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ దీచ్. సో సిద్ధదేవ్ ముని దట్ క్యాన్ బి కృష్ణ డివోటీ ఆల్సో బట్ ఇట్ సింప్లీ రిపీటింగ్ కృష్ణ వర్డ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ క్యాన్ హియర్ దట్స్ నాట్ ప్రాబ్లమ్. రిమైన్ యాజ్ ఇట్ ఇస్ అండ్ దే దర్శన బిలాన్ దీని రియలైజ్ దర్ పార్ట్ అండ్ దీని కంప్లీట్ గా తీరుస్తారు. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. యా కిరణ్ కిరణ్ where is the mind? You know where is the mind? Mind is not this. This is brain. Brain is hardware. Mind is actually pervading the whole body. Mind is considered in the subtle body and it pervades the whole body. See, the mind, buddhi, ahankar, they take the shape of what consciousness you have developed. So they take that shape. Like if somebody is an external human being, but he lives life like a dog, subtle body is like a dog. It pervades the whole body. People generally have wrong notion that mind is here. Why do you always say Hriday? Because Atma is situated in the Hriday, so that's why we talk about Chitta here, like that.
So, mind is
because this shat chakra system, it says that, in Raja Yoga it says, that the six chakra, which is in the kapala, unless one bears the kapala and goes out of the Brahmaranga, he cannot achieve the destination that he desires. That is a must, that's some kind of precondition. It's a condition for them. Unless they fulfill that condition, they cannot achieve perfection. But for a bhakta, there is no such condition. Bhakta can live from anywhere. He has to just think of Krishna and Krishna will come and pick him up and take him. Like that. Well, the yogi has to leave his body himself and he has to follow these rules and regulations to leave the body and go to any destination he wants. Because if one goes to the anus, then one will go to hell. Yeah. So they have to close the anus. They have to close all the holes of the body and try to move the prana to the head, come out of the head. Yeah. Actually, why we say mind and heart? The head is intellect and heart is emotion. That's what you say, no? Your emotions are saying something and your head says something, yeah? That's so. Yeah. Actually, one should not be a person of the head or the heart. One should have a combination of both. Because if one becomes a person of the head, then he turns out to be dry and insensitive. And the person becomes the person of the heart, and he becomes sentimental. Because of which he often comes to a wrong conclusion at many times. So one has to have a combination of both. Bhakta has a combination of both. Good blend of both. Some of the religion and philosophy, no? Like that. Suppose you have to decide with the head, but then when implementation comes, one has to consider the heart also. For example, you have to tell something to somebody at a particular time. So you always look for time, place, circumstance and then tell the person. Otherwise if you shout in front of 10 people, you know what will happen, isn't it? So the head is there, but you have to also have a heart, both are important.